The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
You might have heard about us on Facebook. It's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diana Hong. And now, from the chair behind all the knobs and switches, here's Nate.
All the knobs and switches.
All of the knobs.
And switches.
And switches.
And knobs.
That's right. We've got knobs. Knobs everywhere. Coming up on the show today, actual audio from my computer.
Yes!
A restart fixed it. Sorry about Wednesday. But you know what?
It was a good show.
It was a fine show.
It was a good pod.
And we can throw you out if we don't like because it was free.
Boom.
It's a free show. Coming up on the show today, fighting bed bugs, shoplifting shrimp, and kissing snakes.
Sounds like a fun show.
I'm going to explain all of that. All of that. But first, Jason, we didn't get to you last time. Kareem launched into this whole thing. We started talking about the mortgage crisis. How was your week?
Oh, my week. Listen, when it all comes down to it, I have a job. Mm-hmm. And I have a wife to come home to, and I have here to come talk to. So, this week was good.
Just making the best of it.
Make the best of it.
A Hallmark card.
Yeah. Commercial. I fought off an illness that would kill a normal man.
Oh, you're alive.
I am alive. I'm alive and well. Last Wednesday, after missing last Monday at the trainer, because I was sick, I had jury duty, and I was sick the same day, and Wednesday went back to the trainer, and when you go to the trainer, let me explain something. The trainer, he's a very good trainer. Hi, Steve. I'm sure he's not listening.
Steve, what's up?
Hi, Steve. But the workout is primarily abs. It's a core workout. Abs, legs, some arms, you know, a little bit of back mixed in. It's a core workout. So when you're sick and your stomach isn't the best, doing something that's primarily an ab workout is miserable.
Oh, yeah.
And his whole thing the whole time there is, it's because your cardio's down. It's because your cardio's down. I'm like, yeah, my cardio's down. I've had a fucking cold. You're right. My cardio's down and my lunch is up. But I went back Monday and back to kicking ass and taking names. So,
oh, yeah?
Finally. Yeah, well, the thing is, I've been wanting to do the ropes. Not climb a rope. But you know where you see people like shaking the ropes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been wanting to do that since we started. And
you're like, when do I get to do the ropes?
Well, Leslie goes, Nate's been wanting to do the ropes. So he goes, okay, because he's doing training us both. So he hands her the thin rope and hands me the thick rope, which is about the size of my cock.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
mine too.
Campbell's soup can around.
Girthy.
It's a girthy. It's a girthy rope.
My nickname in college was the tuna can.
That was too much. Nice. So we start doing it, and the thing, Kareem, have you done the ropes?
Yes.
Okay. The biggest problem I had was I was starting to lose my grip on them. It wasn't that my arms were getting tired or that my abs were hurting. It was that I was starting to lose my grip, mm-hmm. and like I'm down at the end, and as I'm shaking the ropes, I'm trying to work my way back up them. I'm doing like the spider fingers up when I'm on my off hand. But we did that. That was a nice way to start. So I enjoyed that. You know what I didn't enjoy the week before? Pushing the sled of weights across the gym floor.
Oh, man.
Because that was the one thing that I thought I would... I thought, oh, well, that's going to be fun shit. It was not. It was...
Wait, what?
I don't know if it was because I was doing the full overhead snatch of the kettlebell reps beforehand, where the kettlebell's on the floor and you snatch it up and you go up to your chest and up over your head and back down 15 times. I don't know why I'm demonstrating it. It's an audio show. It's an audio show.
I wasn't going to ask.
Use your words to describe it, man. So basically the kettlebell starts out between your feet. You reach down, you pick it up to your chest, flip it and fling it up so your arms are above your head, mm-hmm. and you're holding onto it. It's really a leg exercise. It's leg and core.
Mm-hmm.
So did that. And then when I went to push the sled, it was like, because it was all the way across one way and then turn around and come all the way back across the other
turning
way.
Turning it around probably sucked.
Well, I mean, it was just stop, move the handles.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have to actually make a 180 degree turn. I didn't have to. The sled doesn't corner.
Yeah, I didn't think it did.
But by the time I got back, it was like someone had just hit me right across the abs. And I'm like, why does this suck so much?
Just push your car down the street, man.
Oh. Cars roll, my friend. Cars roll.
That's what I'm talking about.
this thing did not roll. Mr. Miyagi stuff. But yeah, good time at the gym. So it's nice to be back. Somebody at work goes, Nate's been wearing a lot more flannel shirts. And I said, that's because they fit again. Because shirts that button down, you can't cheat those motherfuckers.
No.
You know, polo shirts, you can just put them on, stretch them out, and go, yeah, there we go. That works.
It fits.
Yeah, something that buttons down, no, because someone's going to lose an eye, or worse, a button's going to come unbuttoned, and you're going to see your flabby gut in there.
That's why you, if you are a fat guy like me, you got to wear an undershirt.
Even with an undershirt, it's not gonna be good. You don't want to have the straining buttons.
Yeah,
that's really the thing. So I'm down now into the flannel shirts, and they button down fine. I'm good. I'm happy. Making progress, yeah. Doing so, and again, I'm not drinking a beer tonight as I normally would. I am drinking carbonated water.
I thought that was vodka.
It is not. It is plain carbonated water from my soda stream.
Yummy.
Delicious.
Too much to drink.
Well, and I'm supposed to be drinking 3 liters of water a day.
What?
Yeah, 3 liters.
Damn.
To flush your ass out. Mm-hmm. And everything else.
That's what it all is. So
poo clear.
Yeah. So going along, I mean, I've got a wedding at some point. When? Don't know yet.
Yeah. I went to the doctor last week. He told me I need to lose weight.
He didn't say anything about the beaties.
About the beaties?
I didn't say anything about the beaties. Oh, actually, God. I can't eat anything. Only thing I can have for the rest of the night is water.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm getting labs done tomorrow.
Oh, then we'll find. Shit. So next week we'll find out.
We have something we need to talk about next week.
So that's right.
It's a teaser.
But he was like, this motherfucker was like, you need to, pretty much he said I need to lose 50 pounds. And I was like, yeah, just damn.
I'm glad I don't go to your doctor. He'd just look at me and shake his head.
He's like, how tall are you? He's like, you're like 5'8". You're supposed to be 160. I'm like, yeah, back when I was 22.
I'm supposed to be 160. Is it 1953 again? Are you fucking kidding me?
My doctor just threw up his clipboard and walked out. He's like, fuck this.
I'm like, if I can get down to 185, I'll be good. That's 30 pounds. That'll be...
I'm 5'6". I'm 5'5". But I hope I can one day be at 185. Oh, my God. That's... That's not gonna.
That would be my goal again too. So yeah. We'll see. We'll get there.
I was like, I don't want to lose that much weight.
Let's make a fat pack.
Honestly, if you're down to that, you're not a super muscular dude.
Yeah.
And unless you're just one of those, I mean, there are guys that can walk around at that weight and they're fine. But for the most part, if you've got any muscle mass on you, you're not going to commit at that weight.
Yeah.
I remember specifically Tim Raines, The Rock, who should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, motherfuckers.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I remember because he was a player when I was like a teenager when I was coming up through. And I remember he's 5'8".
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, he's 5'8", 195.
Yeah.
And he had like 3 or 4% body fat.
Yeah.
Because it was nothing but muscle.
Yeah, I'm like at 215 and my girlfriend was like, you're like... Yeah, but you're mostly fat. I'm like, no, I'm not. She's like, you haven't lifted weights in a long time. I'm like, yeah, but I was a massage therapist for 15 fucking years. That's all muscle. That's all you do. You're using my job uses my muscles all day.
Right. You got to stand up all day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just so, that burns calories.
I'm like, what are you talking about? I was like, I would just walk in the gym and fuck around with the guys who were lifting weights and throw and do shrugs with 5 plates on each side.
What?
Like it was nothing.
5 plates?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's like 25 pounds a side.
Yeah.
Not 25.
Oh, so it's not the 5-pound plates?
No.
Oh,
<okay. laughs> It's the 45-pound plates.
What?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Jason's doing the math in his head now.
Yeah, I am.
That's like a million pounds. Yeah.
It's like, what, 240, 230? What is it?
About four.
I mean, yeah. Both sides. Fine. Man, I'm serious?
Yeah.
You can shrug that.
I can shrug that, yeah.
What?
I was shrugging it like 20 times.
You can shrug it still?
Yeah.
Let's go on a trip. I got money on it.
I have no idea what I could do because, again, the trainer we only do body weight workouts and like TRX body weight stuff and kettlebells. That other than pushing the sled, there has been no other weights involved.
Damn.
Because when we're doing massage, all of the work you're doing is the muscles in your back mostly.
Mm. Okay, you can say that until we see it. When we see it.
Well,
I'll see it.
I will give Kareem this too. You grew up on a farm, right?
Right.
When you grew up on a farm, you do a lot of work that requires muscle. And it builds up, and it does not really go away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, my wrist action is on point.
I bet it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't, and actually, I gained, let me see. I was like 135 forever until I was like 20. And then I started lifting when I was in the Air Force. But I made a conscious effort to try to gain weight then. And then.
Did someone come up and kick sand in your face? What happened?
No, actually, I started doing martial arts, so I didn't have to worry about that. If you try to kick sand in my face, I would kick you in your face.
No, I'm just remembering all
that. Why wouldn't you just move out of the way of the sand?
like the comic book ads where the guy's kicking sand in his face, and he's like, I need to go work out.
And then so started lifting. And then at that point, I could squat like four.
There's a lot of
when I got out of the Air Force, I could squat four. And then I was... benching 245, and I was probably doing rows with probably like 350.
I'm wet just hearing about it, Jason. I don't know about you.
My balls drop. I just became a man. I thought I'd been a man. And then I heard you talking about this. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah. And then that doesn't count all of the work that I did with my Tai Chi instructor who made you do shit that.
Tai Chi is one of those things that looks super easy, but is really hard. I tried doing it, and A, I lack patience. But B, a lot like yoga, you have to hold certain poses, and you're like, yeah, what are you? You're just standing still. And you're like, no.
Yeah, he made me, like, okay, so, like I said, I could squat four.
Mm-hmm.
I started working with him, and he would make me stand, and he would make me stand till I literally fell out of the stance.
Mm.
Like, and that was worse than any leg workout I ever did.
My karate kung fu teacher used to, like, I remember one time he had me doing sit-ups. And this is when I was, like, 11 years old and just walked out of the room. Like, took a call, walked out of the room, and then, like, was gone for, like, 20 minutes. Yeah. And, like, just had me doing sit-ups when I was, like, 11 years old. And then because the bag was so low, I had to hit the bottom of the bag. Until like my foot was pretty much bleeding, like because like it was so hard at the bottom. But that's so you know that's just that's why I stopped.
Oh, and
but I did learn a kata, so I know a little bit. You know what's going on with that Tai Chi.
So yeah, but my girlfriend came to class one time, and that was it. Like so, because she did the we did the Tai Chi, and she made it through most of the class, but like the rest of the week she was sore.
Yeah,
it seems like oh. Like that suck. I'm never going back.
It's a bigger workout than you think.
I'm going to join the Chai Chi Club.
So you know who could use that? Governor Paul LePage of Maine, who's a, who like Jason and I is a doughy white guy, but unlike Jason and I, he's an a-hole. So if you missed the last show, I really wanted to play his speech talking about all the people and what they do when they come to Maine. Now I have it for you.
Traffickers. These are people that take drugs. These are guys of the name D-Money, Smoothie, Shifty, these type of guys that come from Connecticut, New York. They come up here, they sell their heroin, then they go back home. Incidentally, half the time they impregnate a young white girl before they leave. Which is a real sad thing because then we have another issue that we got to deal with down the road.
Yeah, your governor's a jackass. how's that for an issue?
At least they didn't come to Maine to do drugs.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Although that would probably be better. So, Jason, you're married now. Well, yeah. Let me ask you this. How did you pop the question? I don't think we've covered that on the show, have we?
Oh, I don't think so. No, no.
How did you propose?
At the end of one of my improv shows. It was the last show of the night. We were getting ready. She was moving to Sacramento, and we were getting ready to leave to Hawaii, and I knew she was expecting it in Hawaii, so I did the preemptive strike like a karate master would. And proposed to her that night, right before we went on our vacation. So, and nice. On stage, I brought her up on stage and did a whole thing. And like the place was filled, like 120 people. And
one knee,
got down on a knee and asked her to marry me. And she said yes.
Nice.
I mean, we're married now, right?
So yeah, I guess so. That's what you told us.
Or am I?
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
But that is good. But this one I think is better. Authorities in Michigan said a couple who became engaged at Walmart with a loudspeaker proposal celebrated their engagement by shoplifting jewelry, underwear, and sex toys.
I thought you were going to say they had sex at Walmart to celebrate.
Nope.
Who hasn't?
The Bay County Sheriff's Office said William J. Cornelius Jr., who's 25, purchased a $29.62 engagement ring from the Walmart. And secured permission of employees to use the store's loudspeaker to propose to his girlfriend, Sherry Moore, who's 20. Surveillance footage from the store shows Cornelius going down on one knee and fellow shoppers applauding the couple after Moore accepted the proposal. Now, investigators said the security cameras also recorded Moore concealing earrings and a necklace from Walmart in her purse before the couple left the store without paying. The couple next visited a nearby Spencer's Gift, where Cornelius allegedly shoplifted $80.93 worth of items. So he shoplifted more from Spencer's than he paid for the engagement ring. Just
smart. That's just
like
smart.
Four times, including a pair of bride-to-be thong panties, edible underwear.
Oh, of course.
And a vibrating sex toy.
Oh.
Deputies found Moore walking inside the mall with a Spencer's employee in pursuit, and Cornelius was found in the food court, where he apparently fell asleep while tying his shoes.
Jesus Christ.
He had some of that hair wrong.
Yeah, right? Man, that sounds like a great... I want to hang out with those people. Shit.
He allegedly blamed his actions on being given a painkiller, tramadol, during a recent hospital visit. He's charged with retail fraud, while Moore, who said she had no involvement with the thefts, was charged with larceny. So, congratulations to the happy couple. Hold on. I actually have a reason to play this. Where the hell did it go? Oh, yeah, here it is.
And now, the Nate Darling Show asks, what the hell were they thinking?
Headline, judge, monkey that snaps selfie can't hold copyright. That's right, you might remember this. A federal judge in San Francisco struck down an animal rights group's argument that a famous selfie snapped by a monkey is the primate's intellectual property. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals filed a U.S. federal court lawsuit in San Francisco arguing Naruto, a macaque monkey known to researchers in Indonesia, should be the legal owner of pictures he snapped in 2011 using a camera set up by photographer David J. Slater. The pictures included the famous monkey selfie and photos that Naruto snapped of other monkeys. The U.S. District Judge William Orrick said PETA's argument for the monkey's ownership of the selfie's copyright was a stretch. Said, I'm not the person to weigh into this.
says the judge.
This is an issue for Congress and the president. If they think animals should have the right of copyright, they're free, I think, under the Constitution to do that. He's going to dismiss the suit with an upcoming order. PETA, which sought to use the proceeds from the snapshots to benefit the monkeys of Indonesia. Oh, why do they get to spend the monkeys' money?
Yeah.
Motherfuckers. They released a statement responding to the judge's announcement. Despite the setback, we are celebrating that legal history was made in our unprecedented argument to a federal judge that Naruto, a crested macaque monkey, should be the owner of property, specifically the copyright to the famous monkey selfie photos that he undeniably took, rather than a mere piece of property himself. We will continue to fight for Naruto and his fellow macaques, who are in grave danger of being killed for bushmeat or for foraging for food in a nearby village while their habitat disappears because of human encroachment. That's Jeff Kerr from PETA.
Man, I can't handle PETA. I cannot handle those guys anymore. Seriously, they lost their mind.
The picture has been in dispute for more than a year. Website Wikimedia Commons posted some of the pictures snapped by the monkey last year, labeling them public domain, and Slater attempted to have them removed, claiming the copyright he obtained in Britain should be applied globally.
I've told them it's not public domain. They've got the right to say it's public domain. A monkey pressed the button, but I did all the setting up.
Well, he has it written.
At least he has a point, though.
Wikimedia refused to remove the pictures, saying Slater doesn't own the copyright on the image because he didn't shoot the photo himself.
That's bullshit.
Well,
okay, so...
It belongs to the world, Kareem.
No,
it belongs
bullshit.
To the world.
I think that if anybody has a claim over it, the guy's equipment that it was set it up in the first place has a right
Brent,
to say
Brent
it.
To say that. Yeah.
But I mean, that's also. But at the same time, it's like saying like the guys that shot the Blair Witch Project, like you know, they're the actual authors of the movie don't right. own it. It's the people that shot it.
Listen, Quentin Tarantino didn't make the camera that shot The Hateful Eight. I mean, how is it his movie?
Yeah. But then, okay, so is either or. So give the monkey the right, his rights then, damn it.
Yeah,
give the monkey his.
I'm saying it belongs to all of us.
I think the monkey his rights.
All right. Well.
Oh, man.
Sign him a guardian ad litem to dispense his. Earnings, buy him bananas or whatever.
Keep him away from the people that want to poach him
and eat his bushmeat.
Bushmeat, like that's like they could have just said monkey meat. Like they didn't have to say bushmeat.
Take his money that he earns from those photographs and hire him some bodyguards.
Yeah, right.
Here's the thing: you let the monkey have the money, and he's going to be in New York with all the other foodies. Spending spare cash on a $100 donut covered in 24-karat gold flakes.
Damn.
That's a thing, by the way. The Manila Social Club, a Brooklyn eatery owned by Filipino brothers Bjorn de la Cruz and Samuel Ware, unveiled the Golden Crystal Ube Donut in an Instagram post that gave the public a first look at the confection, as well as revealing its $100 price tag. De la Cruz, the donut's creator, acknowledged the decadent dessert is a publicity ploy. It's gimmicky. That is the thing. It's supposed to get attention. Obviously, it's gold on a donut. Let's not be coy about this. The donut contains ube, a purple yam found in several of the Manila Social Club's dishes, as well as vintage crystal, a 24-karat edible gold flakes, and gold dust. Not the wrestler. The honey notes from the crystal pair well with ube mousse. Ware told the New York Daily News the brothers say they have sold more than 5 dozen of the $100 donuts.
People are crazy.
They see monkeys with copyright money is what's going to happen.
No, I guess.
$100 donut. Let's take a listen, since we can now allegedly.
Allegedly,
I swear to God, I'm going to throw this computer.
Move over, Cronut. That was so 2015. This year, it's all about the gold-crusted donut. And one of these sweet treats will not just cost you the calories, it'll also cost you about $100. The Manila Social Club in Brooklyn is known for its purple ube bay donuts that cost about $40 per dozen, but has now stepped up its donut game. The new Golden Crystal Ube donut has icing made with crystal champagne. Its filling is a mix of mousse and champagne jelly, and the outside is decked out in 24-karat gold flakes. You're probably thinking that's a dessert for the 1%ers, but not so fast. Apparently, the donut is so popular at the Filipino restaurant, owners have had to restock the ingredients for the entire year. You can buy a dozen for the cool discount price of $1,200. No matter the price, don't forget the saying, a minute on your lips, forever on your hips. Christina Baer, PIX 11 News.
How is, okay, $100 donut, a dozen of them is $1,200. That's not a discount.
Well, they give you a baker's dozen.
They better give you a baker's dozen, is what I'm saying. What's going on with this fucking nonsense?
Get ready for some judging.
People.
It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, sex toys. Jason.
Hella cool.
Kareem.
Smarter, not harder. Cool as fuck.
Yeah, sex toys are cool. You just got to make sure you budget for them.
Yeah.
Don't shoplift them. No returns.
No returns.
Does that count for shoplifted ones? It's weird like that. Up next in Cooler Tool, PETA, Kareem.
Tool.
Jason.
Fuck 'em Tool.
Yeah, PETA is a bunch of hypocrites. They're seemingly well-meaning people, but no. And finally in Cooler Tool, Donuts, Jason.
Oh, hella cool.
Kareem.
All donuts except for donut sprinkles with powder and gold are cool.
Yeah, donuts are cool. By the way, this story reminds me of why Diana likes to claim that Filipinos aren't actually Asians.
Yeah.
That is her statement. Oh, by the way, Donut Dash. I want to let everybody in on the Donut Dash. Hold on here. Registration is now open for it. I'm not sure if I'm doing it this year because I got a lot going on. It is Donut Dash 8, spelled A-T-E. It's Saturday, March 5th from 8:30 until 10:30. It starts at William Land Park. It's 2 miles to Marie's Donut Shop and 2 miles back, where you can, in the middle, you can eat 4 donuts or 6 donut holes. You don't have to. You can carry them back.
Can I ride my bike?
No, you may not ride your bike. You can walk it.
It's not going to happen.
Look, I think it was last year I did it, and no, 2 years ago I did it, and I felt like shit. I was like, whoa, with a terrible headache. Went, still did it. Walked the whole thing. Last year, Leslie and I went and walked it, and it was a good time. It's a fun event, and it goes, the proceeds benefit hospitalized children. It's a really good cause.
Oh, man.
So, and it's a fun event. It really is. It's a great way to blow a couple hours on a Saturday morning. So it's a donut-dash.org if you want to sign up.
I'd almost rather make an omelet.
It's not about the fucking donut. It's about the kids.
All right.
It's about the kids. You can get Marie's Donuts anytime. By the way, those are fucking delightful.
Oh, yeah.
Marie's Donuts are awesome.
They're the best.
Can I just donate?
Actually, you can at donut-dash.org.
Yeah, Baker's are pretty good, too, but you have to go out.
Yeah, so
to get those Baker's donuts.
That's cool or tool, and the Donut Dash is cool. I probably should go. The first Donut Dash I did was Donut Dash 3, and the only one I missed was the year my mother passed away because I went back to Vermont. But I've done everyone in between, so it's one of those things that I haven't signed up for, and I probably should, just because. Because I should.
And so it's a 4 mile?
It's 4 miles. 2 miles there, 2 miles back. It's very chill. They have the runners go first, and then the people who are walking, they've got their kids in strollers and stuff like that. 2 miles there, 2 miles back. It's not a hard thing. You can do it.
My wife, just like, she's going to run it, and I'm going to be there walking by myself. She's in shape.
There you go. Well, you have almost 2 months to train.
I could.
Although she's a runner and you're not, then it's going to be quite an uphill battle for you.
Literally.
To try and match up with that in such a short time. So let's see what else. Oh, New York City. My God. New York City.
Get a rope.
Yeah. It's quite a place. They've got the $100 donuts.
Oh.
They also, this is a different story. It's a different bed bug story. Hold on. Yeah, it's a different, no, this is the same one.
Okay.
Hold on. How many?
There's a lot of bed bug stories.
There are, and it looks like this is combined, this is.
The best
like
of both.
Two combined into one.
Four stories?
Yeah, it did. Detroit's man's skin was falling off after he accidentally lit himself and his apartment on fire in a misguided attempt to get rid of bed bugs.
Oh, he's like the guy who put gasoline on his balls to get rid of the crabs.
Yeah, it began around 4:30 a.m. I'm guessing drinking was involved. He was not identified by authority. Sprayed himself and his couch with alcohol to kill the unwanted visitors. Then he lit a cigarette and tried to light one of the building's bed bugs on fire, igniting the couch and his body in the process. Johanna Han LaRosa, one of the building's residents, saw the unwitting firebug fleeing through the lobby, skin apparently falling off his arms.
Oh my God.
He was melting. I was scared. He was screaming. The unidentified man sustained severe burns, now recovering in a hospital, but four apartments were destroyed by the flames, and more than 20 suffered water damage. Resident Phyllis Kuhn said the displaced residents in the 120-unit building, which mostly houses people on Section 8 assistance, haven't gotten much help because building management told the Red Cross the situation was under control when the volunteers visited on Sunday.
Oh, man.
Of course it was. The charity did find housing for a woman and her baby and provided 25 cots and blankets at the request of management. Building residents said the complex is riddled with bed bugs, and another resident told a Detroit paper that he knows of 7 people on his floor who previously filed complaints about the bugs. This isn't the first bed bug related fire in Detroit in the past year, though. In November, Sherry Young accidentally lit her apartment complex on fire when she turned on the stove and oven, left for a day, and returned to douse herself and the floor with rubbing alcohol. 5 people were hospitalized, and that building was declared a total loss.
Oh, yeah.
Detroit recently declared the most bedbug-ridden city in the country, according to data compiled by Terminix. Philadelphia came in at number 2, followed by Cleveland and Los Angeles.
Fucking Los Angeles.
Man. So Detroit, number 1 at something. Congratulations.
Bed bugs, that worries me, man.
Well, Leslie travels a lot, and the first thing she does when she goes into a hotel room is she leaves her suitcases and stuff by the door and immediately goes and does a check for bed bugs. That's the...
Really?
Like, my first thing, I'll walk in, like, throw my shit on the bed. Just, like, do not do that. Because if it gets in your stuff, then you're going to bring your bed bugs home. So, yeah, that's... When you check into a hotel, the little pro tip for you, no matter where you're going, no matter how nice it seems, you check into a hotel, you get in through the door, and hopefully, like, if the bathroom... Like, put your bags and stuff in the bathroom on the... Where it's just a tile floor, and go and check the bed. Pull the bedding back, look underneath... And look for bed bugs, because it's a bad, bad scene.
Man.
Did it a bad, bad thing.
Yeah, I got it mixed up with another story in New York. There's a hotel near Central Park that a guy took a video of his girlfriend, and she looked like she had a rash. It was bed bug bites on her back and on her arms. It looked for all the world like a rash. And they had been moved like 3 times, and... Like there was one outlet in the room that worked.
Jesus.
Yeah. It was
gotta be careful with those Airbnbs, you know?
No, these yeah.
This is fucking...
I would love it. But yeah, watch out for bed bugs. It's bad times. In Albany, Georgia, meantime, a little bit smaller town, a man was shoplifting, but not what you might expect.
Albany police are looking for a man they say tried to steal hundreds of frozen shrimp by hiding them down his pants. And it was all caught on camera. The manager of the Dollar General in South Slappy stopped this man as he tried to leave the store January 1st. Manager searched him.
Hold on.
What was the name of that place again?
Dollar General.
In South Slappy.
You buying... You're stealing shrimp.
From the Dollar General. Store. Yeah. From the Dollar General.
Oh.
In South Slappy.
South Slappy. It's so slappy.
He found 3 bags in his pants, each containing about 60 frozen shrimp. Then she found 2 other bags of shrimp in his back pockets. Now, as the manager called 911, that man ran out of the store. Now police are asking your help identifying this shrimp shoplifter. If you recognize him, call Crime Stoppers at 436-TIPS. You could earn a reward.
He didn't run so much as he sauntered. As one would after you get 3 bags of frozen shrimp pulled out your pants.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Shrimp at the Dollar Store.
In South Slappy.
Yeah. Police are searching for a black man described as 5'9", about 150 pounds, wearing a yellow, white, and blue plaid shirt with a white undershirt. Again, if you have any information, call Albany Police or Crime Stoppers.
South Slappy.
South Slappy Dollar
South
General.
South Slappy.
I hope, you know, I know my life has taken a wrong turn if I find myself at the Dollar General in South Slappy. Yeah. I think that can be said for pretty much anyone.
Yeah. Can't call it South Slappy. You gotta be like South Slappy.
South Slappy.
It's a bad time.
Where you from, fool? South Slappy.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up? Got my shrimp. The Dollar General, fool.
Now I'm gonna go impregnate some white women.
It's South Slappy.
South Slappy.
I have a feeling he had a white woman waiting for a nice shrimp dinner. That's what that
I think
was about.
He was waiting in the cart.
Yeah, they're like, he ran out. No, I'm just watching the video. He walked slowly out, just sauntering away. Because you call 911 because somebody stole frozen shrimp.
From the dollar store?
From the dollar store. Oh, and by the way, you've recovered it all.
Yeah.
They pulled it all out of his pants. He was leaving the store with nothing. No, he's still committed the crime, but 911 ain't rolling on that.
Nah.
The fact that they even did a news story on it shows that it was a slow day. It was a slow news cycle.
By the way, I love the anchorman in his voice.
So slippy.
Jason, you went to an exotic land for your honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
Mexico. Kareem, yeah. have you traveled the world a little bit?
I have not been outside of the country yet.
Okay. I've only been to Canada, so I'm not far behind you.
I've been all over the country, but I haven't been outside the country.
Well, one place I have no desire to go is Asia.
What?
Yes, Jason, yeah. Asia.
Wow. You don't want to go there at all.
No. No.
What kind of white man are you?
Kind of with good sense. Dateline, fuck it, Thailand. A tourist's attempt to kiss a snake at a park in Thailand ended in disaster when the antisocial serpent struck and bit the woman on the nose.
Oh, you're not one of those white people. That's what you're saying.
Neither is she. The woman is a tourist from Shanghai, China, who is visiting the snake park and fuck it with her group on Saturday. When a handler invited her to kiss one of the animals, the tourist leaned toward the snake, which unexpectedly spun its head around and bit the woman on the nose. She was taken to Fuck It International Hospital to treat her wound from the non-venomous python. The snake park agreed to pay the woman $3,300 in compensation.
Oh, yeah.
Officials say this is the first time anyone has been bitten by the snake, which they say frequently allows tourists to kiss it.
Yes.
That snake is a whore.
Snake is a whore.
We got a little thing here. Let's see. If we... So if you ever wonder what it's like for a Chinese woman to get bitten on the nose by a snake, now you know.
Damn it. Why isn't Diana here?
I know, because if she were, she would be making this sound. I think that's actually the sound she makes when she climaxes too. I've heard rumors. I've heard rumors. Hey Diana, how are you?
We've
heard rumors of what happens to you. We cannot confirm or deny.
Rumor has it.
That's right. All right, so let's move on. It's time. We didn't do this last show because we had so much great political stuff, but now we can't neglect our favorite state.
Oh, yeah. There's too
much going on.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
You know, ironically, this first one involves both. It's a YouTube clip, and it's a man riding his bike on a bike path, and he is really frustrated with people until...
I get tired of people putting these logs across the path. Oh, that's a crocodile or alligator.
He's in mid-bitch. I'm sick and tired of people putting logs across this path. Oh, wait, that's a crocodile or an alligator. I don't even know what we have here. I don't know what we have here. I'm sick and tired of it. Oh, sorry. Also in Florida.
How does he live in,
Florida?
No, I just said, how does he not know that it's a gator being in Florida? And then I was like, oh, because he's not living in Florida. It's a self-answering.
He thought it was a log until it moved.
Yeah, exactly.
That's terrible. Hey, you know there's a place called Niceville in Florida?
No, that's nice.
It's true. On December 21st, the Niceville police officer was westbound on Palm Boulevard in search of a dark-colored truck reported to be southbound on Palm. As the officer approached 23rd Street, he saw a dark-colored Ford at a stop sign. The truck sat there for almost 15 seconds, so the officer followed the truck. He saw it swaying in the lane and as it approached State Route 20, the truck crossed the center line and entered the left turn lane. Then, suddenly, the driver decided to turn right and pulled across the lane. He stopped at the red light, then took a wide right turn to the right and ran over the median. At that point, the officer decided he needed to pull him over. When he approached the driver and introduced himself, he asked the driver where he was coming from. The driver said he was going that way. Which way, the officer asked. The driver said, Bluewater Bay. The officer explained to the driver that he was coming from a different direction than Bluewater Bay and asked where he was coming from again. The driver insisted from Bluewater Bay. The officer asked where he was going and the driver said Bluewater Bay. At least he was consistent. So then the officer asked the driver if he were aware that he'd vomited on himself.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit.
He acted like he did not know and looked at the vomit on his pants between the door and seat. That's according to the arrest report. Next, the officer pointed out the driver had entered the left turn lane, made a right turn, and ran over the center divider. What do you think about that? The driver replied, I was just trying to get home. When asked what route he was using, the driver said he was going home to Bluewater Bay. An officer asked for the man's license, registration, and proof of insurance, at which point the driver handed him a Ruby Tuesdays coupon, which he said was his driver's license. The officer pointed out it was not his license, but a Ruby Tuesdays coupon. Did he have a license? The driver brought out a piece of paper that was another Ruby Tuesday's coupon and asked, is this my driver's license right here?
Oh, damn.
The officer again asked for a driver's license. The man handed him a plastic document protector. This went on for several minutes, according to the arrest report.
Oh, my God.
Here's the least surprising part. The driver was not able to perform a field sobriety test. He did consent to a breath test and blew a .219 and a .205.
That's not even that drunk.
That's not even that drunk. It's only 2.5 times the legal limit.
Man, when I got my first DUI, I had a .29. Come on, man.
Pretty glad you're still here.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
I'm glad we're all still here with you doing that out there on the road. Lots of stuff going on. All right, so thank you. Thank you, Florida, for all
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, thanks, Florida.
That was great. Sick and tired of these people out here. I may need to get that drop just so they have it. Like, I'm sick and tired of the people out here. And I'm just hugging.
Yeah, yeah!
All right. So there's a type of person that local news reporters dream about.
Mm.
And you're asking yourself, is this a high-level politician? No, it is not. Is this a leader of industry? No, it is not. Is it a hometown hero? Sometimes.
Mm.
But in this case, not. No, the biggest gift that everybody hopes for is the great soundbite. The person who's very colorful in their speech, in this case in more ways than one, but you're hoping for that colorful person in their speech that can describe for you what happened. What happened at this fire at a Tulsa apartment complex? Well, Michelle Dobain provides the answer.
My friend came to the door. She said, well, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast. And she said, hey, something wrong. It's popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no. What? I got my three kids and we bounced out. We ain't gonna be in no fire. Not today. My friend came to the door. She said, well, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast. And she said, hey, something wrong. It's popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man. The building is on fire.
The building is on fire.
It was so good we had to hear it twice.
That was amazing.
That is what local reporters dream about. Because if somebody comes back into a newsroom with something like that, it's like they have found the Holy Grail. They've got a look like a small child on Christmas morning, a smile from ear to ear, and they're like, you won't believe what I have. I have the golden ticket. And everybody's like, the golden ticket, you say? You won't believe this. And then people gather around and watch and laugh and laugh. That's what. Yeah. So everybody who thinks that the news is conspiring against you, they're not. They're really not. They're just looking for that.
And I can't wait for Smule to make an auto-tune song of that.
there's a lot of stuff. So YouTube, of course, wonderfully full of that sort of thing. Hold on. I think there actually was something. I'm not sure if that's what you're looking for, but hold on. Let's see if this is it.
My friend came to the door. She said, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast. And she said, hey, something wrong is popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire.
By the way, she's wearing an M&M's jacket.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I love her.
Thanks.
The building is on fire.
I was just like, oh, hell no.
I ain't going to get burned up in no thing.
I grab my three.
Hey!
That's right.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yep, that's what happened.
That was dope.
I sent that to my one of my old coworkers who spent about a year and a half in Tulsa, and he goes, oh, I recognize that apartment complex. That's where four people were murdered.
Oh, man.
He goes, and no, I don't miss Tulsa at all. So, anyway, by the way, if you want like a fire extinguisher, everyone should have one.
Yeah.
You can get that at Amazon, and if you're going to be prepared for the fire.
Gotta be prepared.
Click the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Get yourself a fire extinguisher. Help support the show and don't pay any extra.
Make sure it's an ABC.
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, they can put out all fires.
Mm-hmm.
Electrical, oil.
Fire, bedbug.
Bedbug. Fire. Oh, man.
What if the roof is on fire?
We don't need no A. Let the water motherfucker
burn. Man.
Oh, fires are not funny.
I just had to go through learning the fire extinguishers with my compliance training for work.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend.
Oh, I had to learn sexual harassment training.
I did that too.
There you go. That's the most important thing. It's what I like to call don't get us sued training.
Yeah. That's right. You're in a position of power.
It doesn't ever. Well, I say new, I've been there almost 3 years. The company I work for now is a little bit less ridiculous than the company I used to work for. The company I used to work for, everybody went through full training. I mean, like full-on training, and the managers went through more training. The company I work for now, the most commonly used phrase in the employee handbook is, use your best judgment, which is a sign that the company actually respects you as an adult and doesn't feel like you're a developmentally disabled child who's going to hurt them at the drop of a hat, or say a python that a Chinese lady is trying to kiss.
You can't. Some of the shit that people get sensitive about is like, really?
There's a lot of use your best judgment.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Our motto, professional behavior.
And of course, as a manager, it's a little bit different. And, you know, so it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, everybody just chill out.
Yeah.
Let's not get crazy until, you know, somebody complains. And then you're going to do something
about
it.
Then you're fucked.
That's right. Wait till the lawsuit gets settled.
Then you are fucked in the ass.
The Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
Hey, who remembers chlorine salve?
Oh, yeah, of course.
In the 1940s, I picked up a comic book and an ad leaped off the page. It begged me to sell the salve door to door with the promise of prizes galore. I was thrilled when that long cardboard tube arrived with round tins of salve. I hit up family members first, then I covered the neighborhood, knocking on doors, giving it my best pitch. Can't remember if I sold all of them or if my mother had to take up the slack. I wanted what was pictured in the prize paper as a beautiful Indian blanket. I doubt if I peddled enough to win it. But I sent the money and I got a small prize in return mail. It was a scheme that worked for the company, but was eventually outlawed. I admit to being a terrible salesman. I once signed up as an encyclopedia salesman and was hit in the backside by many slammed doors. I later worked as a weekend salesman for a building company on Long Island and could never get anyone to sign on the dotted line. Kay sold Avon products and did very well. Last week, while cleaning out a sagging bookcase in the kitchen, laden with her cookbook collection, she handed me a green hard-covered book, the first edition of Watkins Household Hints, dates to 1941, and elicited a plethora of memories. The J.R. Watkins Company, dating back to the 19th century, involved millions of families by selling its product door-to-door. My older brother Jim remembers the Watkins salesman coming to our house in Westchester County. I do not. Kay has a vivid recollection of the Watkins products in the Vaughn home up in Saranac Lake. Our copy of the book was signed by my late father, Russell E. Little, and is treasured for that reason. Also inside were several paperback publications. One is Home and Garden Bulletin number 62, titled Removing Stains from Fabrics. That's from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Another is Bulletin number 67, Insects and Related Pests of Houseplants and How to Control Them. Mm. A third is Cheese in Your Meals. Issued by the Agricultural Department in July of 1943. One paragraph reads, and I quote, "In wartime, food supplies for civilian use change rapidly. It's part of patriotism to be ready to shift our cooking and eating habits on short notice." And finally, there's a tiny United Nations cookbook published by Crowley's Milk Company. Hold on. Yeah, I think I have to make a transition here to something a little bit different. Where is it? Oh, come on. Come on. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Right here. If you wonder why I save such things in a small drawer near my chair is a Fuller brush used for many years on our clothes. Hey, it's guaranteed for life. We also have Stanley Home products in our cabinets that go back decades. Kay has to clean his shelves without consulting me. I would never let her discard anything. That's the difference between us. She is my conscience. Love that lady.
Yeah. Get down on it.
By the way, columnist Gordy Little may be reached at gordy@suncommunitynews.com. That's a little small town news for you.
What's up with it? He loves that lady.
He does. You know, every now and then you just got to shout it from the rooftops.
I love you!
That's right. That's your
girl,
lady.
Girl, you know I love you.
Girl. Mm.
Girl, you know it's true.
Now don't throw away my shit.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I love you.
You know the real reason why she doesn't throw away his stuff without consulting him? Because I'm guessing a backhand once or twice.
Probably.
What the hell are you thinking?
Don't you touch it.
You touch my shit, woman!
I thought he was saying that she does it. She throws it out without talking to him.
No,
right?
No.
Oh. See, I misheard.
He would never let her discard anything.
I see.
Yeah.
That fucker.
Oh, you're right. She has to clean her shelves without consulting him.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't let her.
Right. Because I would backhand her.
That's right.
I'm not saying you're right. He probably would backhand her, so he has to do it.
Well, my
secret.
Guess is she just throws away shit right and left, and he doesn't notice for, like, weeks at a time.
He said, I was looking for that Crowley recipe book.
And she's legitimately like, I don't remember throwing it out. because she did it, like, 8 months ago. So... It all happened. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for hold on, I have one thing before I get any further. We got a call on our listener line.
Uh oh, oh no.
I have no idea what it is, but I have to play it for you. It's a voicemail here. Let me see if I can call it up. I almost forgot this. All right.
Oh, fuck.
All right, let's see if you guys can make heads or tails of this.
Oh, my God. Amen.
That's it.
Is that Sam Platts?
I don't believe it is.
Oh, my God. So he just caught up and laughed at us.
But the last word was famous.
famous.
Famous. Yeah, you left a voicemail. The thing is, I can look at that. It says it's from unknown caller, so I can't even look it up.
Damn, dude.
So.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, unknown caller.
Thanks, unknown caller.
You're famous. By the way, if you'd like to be unknown caller, you can call us and leave a message at 818-861-6283. It's right at the top of NateDarlingShow.com.
And if somebody wanted to ask me a personal question, I would answer it. Any question.
That's dangerous. Your wife might call.
Oh, good.
Your mother-in-law might call.
I would love it.
Yeah, go ahead and call 818-861-6283 and leave a message. Ask a question. Do what you want. It's your chance to... There's a transcription, too. It says, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, oh my god, famous.
Yeah, yeah.
So the transcription from Google Voice, actually pretty good.
Good job, Google.
Thank you so much, Google Voice. And thank you for listening. Everybody have a great weekend. We're just going to wrap this thing up and go out with the Roots and the Seed 2.0. We'll see you next week. Be safe. Bye-bye.
Be safe.
Thanks for listening. And remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.